What do you say to Senator Ted Cruz, who's supposedly a legal genius, who wants to argue this case because he believes it has such merit?
He has proven himself to be neither a genius in the law or a genius, frankly, in terms of an EQ. He is a sad sack. And I would say to him, and frankly, I'd say to my 17 colleagues who have gone along with this circus, you know, I don't know if I need to send you a surgeon to examine your spine or a psychiatrist to examine your head, but something's wrong with you if you continue to follow this president, if you continue to behave in these bizarre ways, if you continue to hold yourself out as a legal expert, yet demonstrate day in and day out with your support of this president and his claims that you don't know anything about the law, either the process or the facts that go into a winning lawsuit. This president will continue to lose in court, and I believe anyone who sides with him, Ted Cruz or anyone else, will continue to lose as well.
David, first things for December. Where the heck are we now? December 11th.
I'm walking down the sidewalk here on 35th Avenue, and there's a car parked on the sidewalk, man.
Yeah, that's the way I think that you just described, David, for December 11th. You just described the metaphor for what is happening in this election and with the Trump administration and the Supreme Court. What do you have to say about what this gentleman termed and Cuomo termed and Donald Trump termed Lion Ted Cruz?
So the person speaking there is Josh Shapiro, who is the Pennsylvania Attorney General. And he is the lead lawyer for Pennsylvania as a defendant in this Texas lawsuit. And today, you know, we're at crescendo level on the Supreme Court, because it looks like by the end of today, the Supreme Court will have received all of its lawsuits and friend of the court briefs and joiners, and may even decide to take the case or not by the end of today. We're certainly going to have, it's going to happen very, very quickly if it's not today. So that's Shapiro, and he's laying it out about Cruz and all of his fellow attorney generals. And this is the kind of truth telling and take not back down statements of fighting for democracy that inspire me. I am thoroughly, thoroughly done with this horrible conspiracy theory, throwing the democracy under the bus. Everybody's got their ambitions in the Republican Party, and they've sold their souls to join a lawsuit, or in Ken Paxton's case, Texas Attorney General, to put forward the lawsuit. It's just heinous. And we get a few Republicans who aren't willing to join this, but not a ton. You have 17 attorneys general, all Republicans. You have a additional one in Arizona who didn't join the lawsuit, but filed a friend of the court brief. So 18. You have 106 Republicans in the House of Representatives that have added their name to stand in solidarity with this lawsuit. Every single one of them has looked at the calculus on the wall, has looked at the calculus on the wall and has said, I have no future in the Republican Party if I do not at this time stand with our cult leader, Donald Trump. Steve, I am outraged. I am shaken. I am pissed at what these folks are doing to our country, all in the name of the service of the worst human being to ever be president of the United States.
Do you want me to read these paragraphs from the filing by the states opposed to what the Republican AGs have filed?
Yeah, so I sent you a screen capture of two paragraphs from the Pennsylvania response from Josh Shapiro. So there's four different responses from each of the case courts, states that are being sued: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia. But I just sent you the screenshots of two paragraphs from the Pennsylvania response. If you might read those, Steve, that would be great. This was filed yesterday, December 10th, 2020, with the Supreme Court.
The court should not abide the seditious abuse of the judicial process, and should send a clear and unmistakable signal that such abuse must never be replicated. That's the Pennsylvania brief. Let us be clear, continues. Texas invites this court to overthrow the votes of the American people and choose the next president of the United States. That Faustian invitation must be firmly rejected. Strong words, clear words.
Yeah, I love the attorneys general. My God, Steve, I've already learned the Secretary of State's names in all of these states. Catherine Buchvar in Pennsylvania, Jocelyn Benson in Michigan, and so on and so on. Now I know the attorneys general, Dana Nessel in Michigan, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, Chris Carr in Georgia. It's just, this is such an educational process. And oh my gosh, it is brutal. It is brutal. History and education does not always bring out the better angels. And this is a horrible moment. Just an absolute seditious moment. The right word for the right time. A seditious moment for these Republicans that are trying to overthrow an election.
Well, so I agree with all those and the words they use. So I went down the rabbit hole of just trying to figure out what's going on and reading both analysis in Slate and the Washington Post, New York Times, but also I went to a Judicial Watch, which is a conservative think tank, which has been leading this. And, I think it's time to stop calling these folks names because I think that this is sort of where the, and I'm going to use some of their terms, the elites get in trouble because these folks have known what they were doing all along. And this has been, they're playing chess. And I think some other people think they're playing, Parcheesi, Crazy Eights, but they're playing chess. And they have set up this idea that only the legislature, as you know about voting rights, that only the legislature gets to decide as a way for minority rule in this country, for white legislatures and rural districts to control what happens in every state. And, you know, they've done it with ALEC, that Legislative Education Council that they've funded. They've done it since they started taking over state legislatures. And their fundamental idea is, we don't like these voting rights acts because we didn't necessarily pass them sometimes, or we had to act under court rules. And they have been wanting to, this is Jim Crow again, right? This is a return to the 1850s. They've been wanting to get out from under anything that says people have the right to vote. And when the court ruled in Pennsylvania, this was from the Slate analysis, when the court ruled in Pennsylvania not to take one of these cases about, you know, when ballots can show up and whether ballots are valid or not, it was 4-4 because there was no Amy Coney Barrett. And now she's there. She's clear on what she believes. And now there's at least five of them who think that only the legislature, back to the constitutional phrase you used, that only the legislature has the power and the ability to write laws about voting. And if the court goes for it, if 5-4 again with John Roberts on the other side, which I can see them doing, I mean, do they, well, it's chaos. It is Bush v. Gore, and I think that it is not a surprise that some of the people who did Bush v. Gore are on the courts now. I'm much more frightened today than I was, and I mean, it is outrageous. It is seditious, but these are serious fascists. These are not clowns.
Absolutely, and I agree with you that the strategy here was in 2010 to win state legislatures and to control district drawing for state legislatures and congressional seats. They did that in 2010 massively, took over state legislatures. Now in 2020, they held them, or many of them. So in Pennsylvania, you got a Republican legislature, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Georgia, in Arizona. Those are all both chambers of the House held by Republican legislatures. In some of them, you also have Republican governors. In others, you have Democratic governors. But if the court were to decide that legislatures are the only ones that can decide upon election laws, but just to be clear, one quick aside, we're talking solely about presidential elections here, okay? That clause in the Master's Clause in the Constitution is about the president. This is about presidential elections, which of course is massive, but it's not all elections. But back to the strategy, they get the legislatures, and now they're seeking to get the court rulings that affirm the constitutional statement that only state legislatures, only legislatures thereof, that's the clause language in the Constitution, can set the rules for elections. I don't believe they're going to win because the long-term strategy that you're talking about is perfectly comfortable with losing sometimes in order to get a bigger win. And they'll throw Trump away. They are throwing Trump away. They will gladly do so here to get the court to say something like this, which is what I think the court's going to say, or something like this, which is, we're not going to mess with this election because all of you had the chance to contest these laws prior to the election, and you didn't. And there's a very clear legal principle there called laches, which says you don't get to come after the fact of an outcome and change the outcome. But what the court could say is, bring this question back to us, and we will decide it before 2024. That's what the Ohio Attorney General yesterday said in the brief that he filed in neutrality on this case, saying, I'm not siding with either side. He says, but I seek the court's guidance on this prior to 2024. So to me, they're going to lose this election because they have lost this election. I believe that very strongly. They will lose on this moment, but they're going to win on the broader legal question of who gets to set the rules for presidential elections, and it's the legislatures. And again, they are playing chess. They absolutely are. So I do think that there needs to be a recognition on the left that this battle for voting rights is, you know, as contested and difficult and visceral as it was for all of American history. People are not being shot and killed for it at this moment, but they're being devastated politically. And the Republicans are at the front of this. Now, what do you do, though, on the Republican side? Because I want to go this way for the rest of the podcast. Not every Republican's with you. It's clear that there are some Republicans that are not on board this Trump crazy town train. Mitt Romney, a few others, 106 signed on to support the lawsuit, but that means that 105, if my count's right, did not, okay? And in Idaho, the attorney general there issued a statement saying, we're not signing on to this. The Constitution yesterday was the same as it was the day before, and it does not allow this. The Solicitor General in Texas, who is the person for the state of Texas who's supposed to argue their cases before the Supreme Court, did not sign on to this lawsuit, will not be arguing the case before the court if it gets taken up. That's why Cruz needs to do it. So there are plenty of Republicans out there. To me, what has become clear is how far the Trumpians, the Alecians, the Koch brothers will take it. And so do the Republicans who don't stand with them finally say, this is too far, I'm done. I doubt it, but maybe, Steve, and we have to try to appeal to those individuals. We cannot just dismiss them. And because they're Republicans, we have to try to appeal to them. Here's one of them yesterday this morning. He was on early this morning, 7:30 Pacific time. Denver Riggleman, a definite conservative, recently elected to the Virginia 5th seat. And we worked against Riggleman. We wanted to beat him. But he's been saying a lot of reasonable stuff. Here he is on CNN.
I think the Republican Party this morning is desperate. So there's a one word. I also believe the Republican Party is in fear. And I think it's in fear of what's going to happen to them if they don't go along with the agenda, you know, that's being set by the president right now. And once you have desperation and fear, and that rolls into where being reelected is your number one priority, I think that gets scary, you know, for some people who have been in Congress. For me, not so much, right? And we know why. And so I think that's the issue. I think there's some fear. I think there's some desperation. But I also think the amazing amount of pressure that individuals are receiving, and otherwise individuals that would make common sense decisions, I think they're clouded right now. And they know that they know me pretty well, and they know that I would say it to their face. And here's what I want to tell people. COVID is real. The Kraken is not. It's that simple. And, you know, and that's why I've been so outspoken, as you started with the clip of me speaking yesterday about conspiracy theories. My job now is to continue to speak as loudly as I can, you know, about the scourge of disinformation that's infecting so many individuals through the internet.
You know, there are 16 members who signed on to this letter who live in the four states that are being sued, basically. They are trying to overturn the election in the states that they live in. They are saying that the elections that they won are invalid. Don't they have to resign, or don't they have to not take the oath of office in January? If the elections are so fraudulent, how can they continue to serve?
I had this discussion with somebody, and they said, well, it's obvious, you know, that there's some kind of issue, because look, all these Republicans won and President Trump lost. So there was obviously some kind of nefarious play going on here. I said, actually, it's the other way around. What you're saying right now is it's almost impossible to conduct this type of systemic fraud by allowing, you know, the Republicans to gain so many seats in the House, you know, to possibly keep the Senate, but just to concentrate on the president and the manipulation of code. And what you would have to do that is almost so improbable. And yes, so I guess you would have to resign. And when I say that, it's automatically like, oh, whoa, Denver, you know, I think you're taking it too far. I'm like, no, we're really not. And by the way, I thought Republicans were sort of the protector of federalism. So what you're really saying is that you don't trust the 50 states? Hell, we just voted on H.R. 1, you know, in the beginning of the 116th Congress, trying to reject a federal takeover of elections. So now we are for a federal takeover of elections. But those conversations can get quite dicey, as you can imagine.
Sure. Reasonable guy. Reasonable sounding guy. Again, it's not the reasonable sounding people who are driving this train. I mean, I don't know. Do the Republicans have to do anything other than let their party drag them into some new corner? They'll just grumble and be unhappy and move forward. And also, by the way, can I just say real quickly that you have a lot of confidence in the Supreme Court believing in precedents when the Supreme Court has already said, this Supreme Court has said in many of its rulings that they don't really follow precedent that much. If they think it's time to change the law, then they'll find reasons to change their approach to the law.
We're going to end this podcast this morning and not take up all of those things. But I will say that we're going to know within 36 hours, maybe within 10, what the court's going to do. Okay. And I do not believe they will overturn an election. I believe that is a different decision than changing precedent legally. Overturning a decision overturning an election is a monumental thing. Okay. This, I do not believe they're going to do that. And I do also believe that although Denver Riggleman is somebody that I would disagree with on probably 99% of policies, that we have to do all we can to encourage a fact-based, truth-seeking, living in reality worldview in our American politics. That's the issue that undergirds all of this, that the fight for voting has to be lived out in the reality, not in conspiratorial, bizarro world. And if there are half of the Republicans in elected office who want to live in that real world, then they need to be amplified and supported as they stand up against Trump. In Georgia, those Republicans who are standing up against Trump, the governor, the Secretary of State, the Deputy Secretary of State, the Attorney General, they are all going to try to enact voter suppression in stronger terms after this election. They are going to do that. And we are going to fight them with everything we have at that time. And at the same time, the reality is that they have made a decision to stand for the truth and veracity of this election. And that needs to be something that we amplify, because it brings out the contradictions within the party, and all the contradictions within the party are going to exist after Trump is no longer president. So we have to look past just this moment and understand that leveraging those contradictions is the way forward if we're going to have at least two political parties, large ones in this country. So I'm pissed, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm shaken, and I'm also believing that the pathway forward is one of truth and honesty and integrity. And that means finding, now I'm not going to say common ground, but finding an ability to amplify the contradictions within the Republican Party. We got to do it. Today, the attempted coup, it's day two of the coup at the Supreme Court, and we're going to know where the court is shortly. Hey, I'm nervous, but let's go.